Glory to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Glory to God. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, in the last episode, we saw the word saint as used in scriptures. We took a closer look at the word saint as used for believers in Christ Jesus. And then we took the Corinthian church as a case study. We saw how, in spite of their numerous issues, in spite of their challenges, in spite of their moral failures and theological failures, we saw how the man Paul still referred to them as saints of God. Now, the truth of the matter is that their attitudes, their actions, their conduct are not things which we are meant to emulate. The idea is not to promote their conduct in such a way that we feel that, okay, we can emulate the saints so long we are referred to as saints in Christ Jesus. No, that's not the motive or the idea or the intent. The idea was to show us that in spite of their flaws, in spite of their apparent errors, Paul's description of these saints, of these children of God, did not change. Hallelujah. He kept referring to them as saints, sanctified in Christ Jesus, men enriched in all utterance, in all knowledge and grace. And you see, that should instruct us as believers. That should instruct us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We should always stick to the word of God in addressing the saints. No matter what they behave like, no matter what they act like, no matter what their attitudes or their behaviors or their conduct seem to be like, we must stay with the testimony of the scriptures concerning them. Hallelujah. We don't change our opinions concerning people. We don't change what we see or what we think or what we describe believers to be or as because of their attitude. We stay with the testimony of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, Bible says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that means that Paul, in spite of these guys, in spite of their attitude, in spite of these guys' attitudes and conduct and misconduct and flaws and all that, Paul chose to see them through the eyes of Christ. Paul chose to see them through the eyes of the revelation of who God has made them in Christ Jesus. You know, we should be able to say to the believer or say about the believer at all times that he's a new creation. Hallelujah. He's a new creation. All things are passed away. When things are good, when things are bad, when his conduct looks like it, when it doesn't look like it, when he looks, when it seems like he's representing the word, and when it seems like his lifestyle is misrepresenting the word of God, we should be able to stay with the testimony of the word and say that this man is a saint of God. And when people ask you, why do you think he's a saint? You say, well, because he's blood washed and sanctified. Hallelujah. He's blood washed and sanctified. You know, have you heard people say this before? Who then is a saint? Are you now saying you're a saint and things like that? Well, in Christ Jesus, every believer, everyone who has faith in what Jesus has done is referred to as a saint of God. And today, what I want to do is very simple. I want to walk us through scriptures because many times when we make claims in our teachings, it is always good to substantiate those claims. I've said in these teachings that the word saint is used to describe the believer many more times in the New Testament than any other word. Now, how true is this? We shall look through scriptures today. Hallelujah. That the word saint was employed to define or to describe the believer much more than you'll find any other word in the scriptures in the New Testament. Glory to God. So let's run a few statistics, and that will be it for today. Hallelujah. Just a few statistics. Now, the word believer or believers, whether in its singular or plural form, all together is used for us just 4 times. And when I'm talking about New Testament, I'm talking about Acts of Apostles through the epistles. So it's used just 4 times. In fact, this particular one, in all scripture, in the entire Bible, these are the only 4 places you find the word believer or believers. Hallelujah. Just 4 times. 2 Corinthians 6:15, Acts 5:14, 1 Timothy 4:12, 1 Timothy 6:2. Those are the places you find the word believer and believers. Believer just once, 2 Corinthians 6:15. Let's look at this. Bible says, and what accord has Christ to Belial, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So you find it in only this portion. You find the word believer, singular form, in only this in this verse of the Bible alone. You find the word believers, the plural form, just 3 times. Acts 5:14. Acts of Apostles chapter 5 verse 14. Look at this carefully. Glory to God. Acts 5, 14, Bible says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Take note of those who are being added to the Lord, believers. Not just any kind of person, not just any random person who fancies church, believers. Not just churchgoers or church attenders, believers, or church attenders, believers. Men who had come to believe, repose faith in the work of Christ. Hallelujah. So, Acts 5:14, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul tells or instructs Timothy to be an example to believers in faith, in speech, in conduct. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Glory to God. So these are the places you find the word believer used for Christians, used to describe you and I in the Bible, in the New Testament. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6, 2. And those who are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. So, those are the only places you find the words believer or believers used to describe us in Christ. What about the word worshiper? You won't find it at all in Acts of Apostles and in the Epistles. You find it descriptive of believers in Christ, those who were going to believe once in the ministry of Jesus. John 4:23. God is spirit, and those the Father seeks. Okay, let's see John 4:23. I'm trying to quote John 4:24. I'm very used to that. Praise God. God is spirit, them that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. But this is 4:23. Glory to God. Bible says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. That's the only place you find it used. It's not used at all in the book of Acts for believers, and it's not used at all in the epistles to describe us. You find it only in the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. What about the word disciple or disciples? You find these words used 37 times in all. Hallelujah. And then used 37 times in all. In the book of Acts, you find, you know, more usage of this word, more usage of this word in the ministry of Jesus. But in the book of Acts alone, you find this word 37 times used for the believer. Hallelujah. But then you won't find it used once in the epistles. That is, if you read Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Galatians, Colossians, and all, you are not going to find this word used just once, not even once, for describing us in Christ. Hallelujah. But then I think the reason why it's so prominent in the Gospels and it's so prominent in the book of Acts is because what was happening, what the books were capturing were the act of, or the art of discipling men. Of discipling and training men. Glory to Jesus. You know, the epistles were not particularly focused on how the apostles were teaching, how the apostles were training people. The book of Acts is focused on that. The epistles are documentation of the doctrine, what they taught. So, the book of Acts, the gospel account and the book of Acts, they actually document the process of teaching. So that's why you find the word disciples used prominently in those books. And you will not find a mention of these words in the epistles. Hallelujah. What about the word Christian? Christians. Just three times. Acts of Apostles 11 verse 26. This was the first place we were ever referred to as Christians. Acts of Apostles 11 26. Bible says, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It's amazing that the first time believers were called Christians, it was because they were teaching God's word. They were doing Bible study. Hallelujah. It wasn't based on many things. It was because they assembled men and they were teaching them for a whole year. So what they saw was that there was training, there was teaching. Amazingly, you know, the reason why the word Christian means, you know, a party of Christ. Party of Christ, just like you have the Herodians. So, Christians, those who belonged to Christ, the party of Christ. So, people who were behaving like Christ. Now, the reason why they called them Christians was because they were teaching, like I said, they were teaching. They saw Bible study. They saw attention being paid to God's word. Now, the reason why it was easy to associate that with Jesus was because that was the very thing Jesus was doing. Jesus was constantly teaching and teaching and teaching and instructing men from the word of God and encouraging and challenging men to search the scriptures. So when they saw people were doing the same, it was just clear that, oh, these guys, they've caught the Christ bug. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So just three times you find this word used to describe us. Acts 26, 28. This was when Paul was making his defense before Agrippa. Acts 26, 28. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. This is the first time that an apostle of Jesus Christ is going to ever use this word to describe the church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Bible says, look at this now. Bible says, but if yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. If anyone suffers as a Christian, that is, if you are convicted because of your faith in Christ, then there's no need to be ashamed. Glory to Jesus. So, those are the words used to describe us in scriptures, but you find out that the most prominent of them all is the word saint. The word saint, saints, you know, plural or singular form, appear 49 times. In the epistles, in the book of Acts and the epistles alone. And in the book of Acts, the word is used 4 times, while in the epistles, the word is used 45 good times. Hallelujah. Now, that's not counting 12 other times that this word is used in the book of Revelation to describe believers. Glory to God. Now, funny thing is that in the Gospels, the word disciple appears prominent, very prominent. Very prominent. I mean, the word disciple is a prominent word for describing those who were in the ministry of Jesus. Yet, the word saint was never used. Hallelujah. And I think that says a lot. That the word saint was never used. You know, we said that the word saint is the noun which is a product or the result of the word sanctified, which is the verb, agiazo, verb, which means to make holy. Saint is the word agios, which means the most holy thing. So, being a saint is a product of the sanctification of Christ. Hallelujah. So, that means in the Gospels, while they were referred to as disciples, they couldn't be referred to as saints in Christ. Because to be a saint in Christ, you must have believed in the Gospel. You must have been sanctified by the blood, by the offering of Christ. You know, the sanctification we have today is by the offering of Christ. Nobody was sanctified merely because they were listening to teachings. Glory to God. Nobody was sanctified in the sense that we're sanctified today because they were being taught God's word. Because they were being discipled in the Gospels. Hebrews 10, look at this again. Sanctification is a result of the sacrifice of Jesus for you and I. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Bible says, by that way we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Through the offering. So, how does sanctification come? By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. By one offering. So, what brings sanctification? What makes a man a saint? Is the offering of Christ. So until Jesus died on that cross, until he was buried, until he rose again, no one could become a saint. But men could be called disciples because discipleship is strictly about learning. The word disciple is the word student. Hallelujah. So anybody can be a student. You don't have to be born again. That's why if you look at the instruction Jesus gave to the church, he says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all men. In fact, another rendition says, Go into all the world and teach all nations. Because discipleship is strictly about teaching. Whether you are born again or you are not born again, if you are focusing on teaching, if you are paying attention to teaching, you can be qualified to be called a disciple. Because the word disciple means student, a learner, a pupil, a scholar. Somebody who is paying attention to instruction, who is paying attention to doctrine. Hallelujah. But you see, so while they could be called disciples because they were being taught and they were being trained, they couldn't be called saints because sainthood is a product of sanctification. It's a product of the offering of Christ on the cross and his death, resurrection, and ascension. Glory be to God. So that's why it's until Jesus died that the word saint became a word used to describe believers until he died and rose again. So that word came into the picture in the book of Acts. The moment Jesus died, ascended, the word came into the picture as a description of everyone that believes in the gospel. Glory be to God. And then we now find it so prominent in the epistles. Another intriguing fact is that John and Peter did not use this word at all. And James. Hallelujah. And thank God for Paul. So Paul was the one that used this word the most. He used the word so prominently to describe every believer in Christ. Out of the 45 times the word is used in the epistles, Paul used the word 41 times. The writer of Hebrews 2 times. Jude used it also 2 times. Hallelujah. So, but thank God for the ministry of Paul. Paul showed us how that believers can be called saints in spite of their moral imperfections. In spite of their theological failures, they can be referred to as saints in Christ because sainthood is a product of the sacrifice of Christ. Hallelujah. So, are you ready? Let's just walk through scriptures to substantiate this claim from the Bible. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 9 verse 13. Bible says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. So Ananias refers to the church as the saints. Acts 9:32. Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. So he refers to the church as saints. Acts 9:41. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Have you seen? Saints, saints, hallelujah. See how common the word is used. Acts 26, verse 10. Glory to Jesus. This also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. This was Paul making his defense before the council, hallelujah, making his defense before Agrippa. Specifically, and then he speaks of shutting the saints in prison. Glory be to God. Romans 1:7. Romans 1:7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. In fact, the word to be or the phrase to be there is in italics, so it's not there. So it just means beloved of God, called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The saints, believers in Christ. Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Romans 15:25-26. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Romans 15:31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. The saints, they refers to the whole church. Romans 16:2, hallelujah, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Romans 16:15, greet Philologos and Julia, and Neurus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. All the saints refers to all the church. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:2, which we saw yesterday, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, called saints. Hallelujah. Everybody, all we in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians 6:1-2, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, that is, you guys are the saints, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given others to the churches of Galatia, so you also must do. The saints here also refers to the whole church. 1 Corinthians 16:15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 1:2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, a brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, with all the saints there refers to the church of God. 2 Corinthians 8:4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, the church. You know, one thing I want you to observe is how that this word is so common to every believer. It's so common. It is not a special status or special description. It's our family name. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:1. Look at this. It is now concerning the ministering to the saints. It is superfluous for me to write to you concerning the ministering to the saints. 2 Corinthians 13:12-13. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Hallelujah. All the saints greet you. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Look at that. All the saints refers to the whole church. Ephesians 2:18 to 19. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Have you seen? Fellow citizens with the saints. It's a common heritage. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul refers to himself as the least of all the saints, as being less than the least of all the saints. It's just a manner of speaking. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Bible says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and it says to know the love of Christ if you read further. So it refers to the whole church as the saints, to be able to comprehend with all the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4, 12. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints. All believers are referred to as saints in Christ Jesus, for the equipping of the saints. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. The saints, the church. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All the saints, every believer in Christ is a saint of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, born servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, to all the saints. Philippians 4, 22, glory to God, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household, all the saints. Colossians 1, 2, have you seen how common it is? It is so common. Hallelujah. It is so common. It was not a unique name to anybody. It is so common. It was not based on anybody's achievement or moral qualifications or merits. It was a common name. It was a family name. Hallelujah. And it is a family name till date, based on the sanctification we have received in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 1:26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. Hallelujah. His saints. It's such a common name. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. That he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. With all his saints. So Jesus is coming with all his saints, right? So is this not eternal salvation? Jesus is coming with all, not some of his saints, with all his saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. Bible says, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Glory to God. Philemon 1:5. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Philemon 1:7. Glory to God. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the acts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So it refers to the whole church as saints of God. Then we have Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 13:24, greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. So, saints of God, it's a word that applies to all believers and describes the whole church in Christ Jesus. Jude 1:3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, to the church. Hallelujah. Jude 1:14. Glory to God. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. So you see the word saint used prominently in the epistles to describe believers. And then, We just rush through it. We walk through all these places to substantiate the claim that the word saint is used more prominently to describe believers than any other word found as a description of believers in the New Testament. Hallelujah. The word saint is the most prominent word. It is our family name. Glory to Jesus. So we are saints of God. We are saints of God. How does it feel? How does it feel to know that you are a saint in Christ Jesus and that it is not a honorary title for those who have done well, for those who are dead and have left a legacy? It is something you can own in this life. It is something that describes you, that describes your present state now that you are in Christ Jesus. How does it feel? So you've heard of Saint Aquinas, Saint this and that, Saint this and that, Saint Andrew, Saint these all kinds of saints that you find in the world today, given to men who are believed to have achieved so much, to have died as martyrs too. Some of them left some rich legacy and then they are called saints in certain sects. But how does it feel to know that you can refer to yourself as a saint of God today? Hallelujah. So I license you from the word of God. You can put on your status, saint, whatever your name is. Glory to Jesus. Just go ahead and just call yourself a saint because that is your name in Christ Jesus. That's the description that the word of God has of you in Christ Jesus. You are a saint of God. You are the most holy thing. You are set apart unto God. You are sacred. You are holy. Nothing tampers with your holiness. Always in the sight of God, you are perpetually a saint. In your good times, in your bad times, you are a saint in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And this should inform how you see yourself, how you carry yourself. You are not an ordinary vessel. You are not a common person. You are sacred. Hallelujah. You are sacred. The only place you become common, it's in the church. You know, in the church, that Bible refers to salvation for us as our common salvation. Hallelujah. It's only in the church, it's a common thing. That is, it's something that belongs to all of us. It's something we share mutually. Glory to Jesus. So in the world, you are sacred. You are not common. In the church, you are common because we all are saints of God. Glory be to God. Do go to tune in on Monday. We'll continue this teaching on sanctification and then continue to see God's mind on this subject. Invite your friends, put on your social media status, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great weekend. Be full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. And don't forget to attend church meeting tomorrow. Don't be a party to those who say that, I'm following a broadcast on the internet. I don't need to attend any church. No, you need the physical gathering of the saints. Even the broadcaster is going to attend service tomorrow. Hallelujah. So make sure you do not default. Find a sound local church where Jesus is magnified and glorified in their teachings and, be committed right there. See you in the next episode.